Mine has been a life of much shame. With these haunting words, Osamu Dazai's protagonist, Yozo, confesses the core truth of his existence, a profound, unbridgeable gap between himself and humanity. From his earliest memories, he experienced the world differently, viewing everyday human rituals through a lens of perpetual incomprehension. Even basic experiences like family mealtimes became excruciating ordeals of forced performance and hidden panic. What makes his childhood alienation so striking is his acute awareness of it, a self-consciousness that only deepened his isolation. He recognized early that he alone seemed entirely unlike the rest, unable to understand how others managed their troubles without despair. To bridge this terrifying gap, young Yozo developed his defining coping mechanism, becoming the farcical eccentric. Through careful observation, he discovered that making people laugh created a protective barrier between himself and their potential hostility. His childhood performances evolved into a sophisticated system of social survival, where every interaction became a carefully choreographed dance of deception. By sacrificing authenticity for safety, Yozo created a persona that would both protect and imprison him throughout his life. At school, Yozo was known for his privileged background and academic brilliance. Despite frequent absences, he maintained top marks without studying. He sketched cartoons during lessons, turning them into comedic performances for classmates. His compositions became calculated provocations that amused teachers while allowing him to escape from being respected, earning perfect academic grades but poor conduct scores. Beneath this persona was a deeply traumatized child. Yozo admits his true nature was diametrically opposed to the role of a mischievous imp he'd created. In his family home, he had been corrupted by servants in what he calls the ugliest, vilest, cruelest crime against a child, a trauma that shadowed his entire development. A pivotal moment came through his friendship with Tekiichi, who showed him a Van Gogh self-portrait. When Tekiichi described it as a picture of a ghost, Yozo realized great artists revealed the haunting realities beneath surface appearances, sparking his artistic awakening toward creating self-portraits that exposed his raw inner truth. Entering college in Tokyo unwillingly, Yozo fled dormitory life by claiming lung problems and moved to his father's townhouse. There, he met Masao Horiki, an older art student who introduced him to Tokyo's vices. Though privately considering Horiki a fool, Yozo valued him for handling money and conversation, sparing him the terror of social interactions. With prostitutes, whom he viewed not as women but as imbeciles or lunatics, Yozo found unexpected security. These encounters gave him the aura of a lady killer, attracting women who sensed this mysterious quality. Horiki introduced Yozo to a communist reading society. Finding their theories insufficient to explain human darkness, Yozo's clowning made him indispensable. Unlike Horiki, he performed all dangerous missions with such calm that police never suspected him. His most significant relationship was with Tsundeko, a Ginza cafe hostess. Her presence allowed him to drop his act. Their relationship ended in a suicide pact at Kamakura. She died, he survived. An outcome that would haunt him forever. After his failed suicide, Yozo was expelled from college and confined above Flatfish's antique shop. Officially disowned by family, though brothers secretly sent money, he existed in lethargy without even the will to contemplate suicide. Shizuko, a widow, offered salvation by sheltering him. Living with her and 5-year-old Shigeko, he became a kept man who maintained their home while she worked. His cartoons earned some income, mostly spent on liquor and cigarettes. Shigeko's acceptance of him as daddy gave him genuine connection. When she innocently mentioned praying for her real daddy, Yozo collapsed emotionally. He began mocking Shizuko, returning drunk and pawning her clothes for drinking money. After disappearing for days, he returned to find them playing with a white rabbit purchased as his welcome home gift. Seeing their simple happiness through the window, he silently yearned for such contentment before walking away. His life transformed upon meeting 17-year-old Yoshiko, a tobacco shop girl who innocently urged him to stop drinking. After she tended his injuries, he proposed marriage, contingent on sobriety. In her uncorrupted innocence, he recognized something truly sacred. Horiki's return destroyed Yozo's happiness. After pawning Yoshiko's clothes for Horiki, they drank gin on the roof. Later, Horiki led him downstairs, where Yozo found Yoshiko with the shopkeeper who bought his cartoons. Terrified, Yozo fled. This betrayal split him through the forehead between the eyebrows, creating a wound that would throb around others. What devastated him wasn't just her physical infidelity, but losing her trustfulness, the one virtue he had relied on. Yozo surrendered to alcohol, his appearance deteriorating as he drew pornographic pictures for Jinrunny. One night, drunk and searching for sugar water, he found and swallowed all her hidden sleeping pills. After surviving this suicide attempt, his final decline began with vomiting blood in the Ginza snow, a rising sun flag in the white snow. A pharmacist gave him morphine to substitute for alcohol. The drug eliminated his insecurity, making him optimistic. One injection became four daily. He couldn't work without it. His addiction deepening, he wrote desperately to his father, but, receiving no response, increased his dosage further. Yozo's institutionalization fulfilled his plea for no women by confining him to a mental hospital. He maintained clarity. "I wasn't mad. I've never been mad for an instant, but I had become disqualified as a human being." 3 months into confinement, his eldest brother brought news of their father's death, leaving Yozo in an unexpected emotional void. His brother offered continued financial support with one condition: Yozo must leave Tokyo immediately. His exile took place in a decrepit coastal hot spring house with only Tetsu, an unattractive 60-year-old caretaker, for company. The 3 years that followed became a strange purgatory as his health declined. In his final reflection, Yozo reaches complete detachment. "Now I have neither happiness nor unhappiness. Everything passes. The only truth I've found in this burning hell of human society." At 27, his prematurely gray hair made him appear over 40, a physical manifestation of his spiritual exhaustion. The narrator found Yozo's notebooks compelling in their honesty and decided they must be published unaltered. When asking the bar madam who knew Yozo for her thoughts, she remarked, "When human beings get that way, they're no good for anything." Her recollections contradicted the tormented person in the notebooks. Despite his drinking, the Yozo I knew was so easygoing and amusing, a good boy, an angel. Her words exemplified the very mask Yozo had crafted. This reveals the novel's central tragic irony. Yozo's facade worked too well, concealing his suffering so completely that even those closest to him saw only the performance, never the performer. He remained fundamentally misunderstood, observing humanity rather than participating in it, viewing a world visible but forever inaccessible to him.